With Heart and Voice is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting.
Hello, and welcome to With Heart and Voice, a program of sacred choral and organ music. I'm Peter Dubois, and I'm delighted that you've joined me for the next hour of fascinating listening. And perhaps we should title this edition of the program With Pipe and Voice, in honor of our special guest, legendary broadcaster and innovator Michael Barone. He has perhaps one of the most recognizable voices in classical music broadcasting today. And decades ago, Michael brought his love of the pipe organ and its music to public radio audiences. For almost three decades, With Heart and Voice and Pipe Dreams have held complimentary spots on many radio stations, featuring a certain amount of crossover on each between choral and organ music. On today's program, we'll meet the man who has introduced so many to the King of Instruments. It's only fitting, as we begin this visit with Michael Barone, that we hear some brilliant organ music. A somewhat serendipitous fanfare improvisation by organist Stephen Lower, played on the 1938 Aeolian Skinner organ at St. Paul's Chapel of Columbia University in New York. Stephen Lower improvised this fanfare on the organ at St. Paul's Chapel, Columbia University. Michael Barone, our special guest today, recounts the circumstance of its recording.
I was in New York City. Thomas Murray from Yale University was about to present a concert at the St. Paul's Chapel of Columbia University, where a whole bunch of pieces by Felix Mendelssohn that had been discovered. So this was the world premiere of pieces by Felix Mendelssohn. One of which we will hear a really grand thing in just a moment. But to flash back to the very beginning, that fanfare that you heard at the opening, I trundled out to New York City with some recording equipment and was setting up, and before the concert, needed a level check, please. So Stephen Lower, who was a friend of Tom Murray's and was down for the occasion, hopped on the bench, and what you heard at the beginning of the program was it. The tape was rolling, and I thought, this is good enough for prime time.
On a recent visit to Rochester, New York, Michael stopped by the WXXI studios where this program originates for an enjoyable chat, something we've hoped to do for a number of years. And of course, he brought along some wonderful music to share. As with all people who find themselves in something of a niche portion of the classical music world, I was curious about what drew Michael's interest to the pipe organ.
Somewhere in my childhood, I became fascinated by the instrument in our Presbyterian church back in Kingston, Pennsylvania. We, as a family, usually sat toward the front, and that allowed perfect visuals to watch Marion Wallace controlling the molar console that was connected to the Hook and Hastings pipe organ.
So then how did that kernel grow in you?
I took piano lessons from the age of 5. I was curious about the organ in our church and eventually, you know, would sneak upstairs during Boy Scout meets and fiddle around on my own. At one point, I do remember that the pastor of the church, Herbert Pickett, stuck his head in the door, sort of peeked in, and I thought, oh boy, now I'm in for it. But for whatever reason, instead of saying, Michael, you really shouldn't be in here, he said, oh, that's you, and closed the door and went back to his study to continue working on his sermon.
That early musical seed blossomed somewhat later, but not necessarily in ways Michael or anyone expected.
I went to Oberlin specifically to not get into music, but I was there because there was music on the periphery, and I thought that would be fun. I mean, I played sousaphone in the high school band. I sang in the high school glee club. And one thing led to another. I ended up with a bachelor's degree in music history. Organ was my applied instrument.
And that seemingly crystallized his affinity for the pipe organ. Among a vast array of accomplishments, perhaps Michael Barone's signature achievement is the radio program Pipe Dreams, which has so far enjoyed more than 35 years of continuous broadcast to an audience of tens of thousands across the country and beyond.
Pipe Dreams grew out of the 1980 American Guild of Organists Convention that was held in the Twin Cities. And I was the music director at Minnesota Public Radio then, and we decided to record as much of it as we could. And I thought that there might be the possibility of a greater audience if we could distribute this nationally.
How long did it take to expand into a weekly program?
At that point, no one in the broadcast media had paid any attention to American Guild of Organists conventions. And I thought, well, certainly since the next one at that point in 82 was going to be in Washington, D.C., National Public Radio should pick up on this. Well, they had no interest. So I contracted with some recording engineers in Washington, and we recorded that. And that was the beginning of Pipe Dreams as a continuing weekly presence.
Michael introduces some hymn playing and singing in the rarefied atmosphere of that 1980 AGO convention in a recording from the very first Pipe Dreams broadcast.
Let's begin at the beginning, with organ and choral music recorded during a festival worship service at Central Lutheran Church, Minneapolis, marking the official opening of the last American Guild of Organists convention. As we enter, McNeil Robinson is just beginning his improvised prelude, which was inspired, I think, by the excitement of the occasion, the theme of the opening hymn, and the beautiful spring morning which was at hand. The hymn tune, appropriately enough, is entitled Oh, That I Had 1,000 Voices. And in fact, on this occasion, there were close to 2,500 voices, and they knew how to sing. Let's listen.
Thank you.
The hymn, Oh That I Had a Thousand Voices, led by McNeil Robinson, from a recording aired on the very first Pipe Dreams broadcast and recorded at the 1980 National Convention of the American Guild of Organists. You're listening to With Heart and Voice. Our special guest today is Michael Barone, who followed a somewhat unusual path to what has turned out to be more than 50 years in radio broadcasting.
It's not anything that I ever imagined I would be involved in. I listened to the classical station that we had back at home in the Kingston, Wilkes-Barre area. When I got to Oberlin, there was a 10-watt station on campus that students ran. And I was, I guess, curious and for a moment fearless, and went over. And I remember the very first time I was on the air, I was sweating in my britches, which is one way of putting it, I suppose. I was sophomore year, I was the assistant music director. Junior and senior year, I was the music director. And when my time at Oberlin was done, the only thing I thought I might be able to find employment in was announcing classical music on the radio. Now, this is 1968. There is no national public radio. There is no corporation for public broadcasting. But just by chance, there was a little station in Collegeville, Minnesota that had gone on the air in January of 1967, and they happened, as it turns out, to be in very great need for someone to announce and program classical music. And I sent an audition. In the middle of July, I got a letter from Bill Kling saying, we'd like to offer you the post of music director. Come when you can. And I did.
As regular listeners to Pipe Dreams can attest, Michael's musical interests and tastes are wide-ranging, dating back to the listening patterns of his family during his childhood, but perhaps growing even broader as time has progressed. Our next musical experience features jazz on the pipe organ, taken from a Pipe Dreams live event at the 2008 convention of the AGO in the Twin Cities from an artist that Michael found particularly fascinating.
One of the people I thought would be very interesting to engage was a woman that I had learned about through her recordings, Barbara Dennerlein, who had a pretty good reputation playing the Hammond B3 in jazz, but she hadn't, until very recently, been involved with the pipe organ. So I think listening to this performance from the 2008 convention and then the little bit of conversation that follows it afterwards will be revealing.
Thank you. You can tell it's an audience of organists, because if it were a jazz audience, they would have applauded when the double bass had the solo.
That's okay.
How did you decide to risk getting on a big pipe organ when the Hammond B3 offers everything that a jazz musician could possibly want, an instantaneous response? You tackle a pipe organ, all that stuff is so far away.
Yeah, that's right. I'm always looking for challenges. And now, actually, it was because I'm a promoter of a concert from the German Bach Tage. Johann Sebastian Bach Tage, he was asking me about 13 years ago if I would like to play instead of my Hammond organ at the big pipe organ. And as I said, as I'm looking for challenges, I immediately say, yes, okay, I'm going to try. But actually, I have always loved the pipe organ. It's just that so far nobody had allowed me to play at a pipe organ. So that's the reason.
Maybe you didn't ask nicely enough.
Probably, yeah.
Although I can't imagine anyone turning you down. I'm not sure what I said, but if they liked it, it's fine with me.
Our guest, Michael Barone, spoke with jazz organist Barbara Dennerlein, who performed on the 1990 Visser Roland organ at Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. You're listening to With Heart and Voice. Our next piece is an anthem featuring combined choirs from several Minneapolis churches to perform The Kingdom of God by Stephen Stuckey.
Well, this was one of numerous works that were commissioned for AGO convention appearances. This particular one was from the 2008 convention. And for some reason or other, I don't know that it actually ever got broadcast on Pipe Dreams. So I'm offering it to you and your listeners here with Heart and Voice.
An exclusive. Philip Brunel leads the combined choir in this performance of The Kingdom of God by Stephen Stuckey at Central Lutheran Church in Minneapolis. The Kingdom of God by Stephen Stuckey, as performed at the 2008 National Convention of the American Guild of Organists. The combined choir was directed by Philip Brunel. Coming up is a wonderful performance of the grand Allegro Chorale and Fugue in D minor, D major by Felix Mendelssohn. This is from the event Michael referenced earlier, the unveiling of some newly discovered works at the time by Mendelssohn. This performance is by Thomas Murray on the organ at St. Paul's Chapel, Columbia University. Thomas Murray performed expansive music of Felix Mendelssohn in live performance. We heard the Allegro, Chorale, and Fugue on the 1938 Aeolian Skinner at St. Paul's Chapel, Columbia University in New York. You're listening to With Heart and Voice. Michael Barone's influence in promoting the pipe organ and its music has led to projects beyond the scope of just the radio program and live performance events. It also has included the creation of some new music for the instrument by current composers.
I had discovered Henry Martin's set of 24 preludes and fugues for piano. He teaches jazz and theory at Rutgers. I thought the spirit of this music is something that maybe the organ doesn't have quite enough of. So I communicated with him. We talked about the possibility of a commission, but I didn't know that I had signed on the dotted line until some months later I get an email with an attachment, and it's his first prelude and fugue. And it turned out to be pretty neat, and one thing led to the other, and now there's a whole cycle of 24. And the example here, I think, gives you a sense of why I was excited at the beginning and why I hope organists will pick them up and play them.
Isabel Demers plays the Prelude and Fugue No. 5 in A Major by Henry Martin on the 1997 Fisk Rosales organ at Rice University in Houston.
Thank you.
The Prelude and Fugue No. 5 in A Major by Henry Martin was performed by Isabel Demers on the organ in Edith Bates' old recital hall on the campus of Rice University in Houston, a piece whose composition was facilitated and encouraged by our guest today, Michael Barone. Our next selection, a glorious hymn, comes from a live recording made at the 2002 National Convention of the AGO at the Cathedral Basilica of St. Peter and Paul in Philadelphia.
How shall I sing that majesty? It's a wonderful hymn. It's part of the AGO convention from 2002, and it features not only the congregation, which again numbered in the hundreds, but the Chestnut Brass also, and Jerry Hancock was accompanying and leading the choir of St. Thomas Church, New York City, who were in residence for the week. And it's kind of fun to capture this sort of energy, which is what every organist and choir director dreams of being theirs every Sunday morning.
The hymn, How Shall I Sing That Majesty, with tune by Kenneth Naylor and arranged by Richard Webster. The recording is from the 2002 National Convention of the American Guild of Organists in Philadelphia. Jerry Hancock played the organ and led the St. Thomas Choir of Men and Boys and gathered congregation along with the Chestnut Brass. It's been our pleasure today to welcome friend and broadcasting colleague Michael Barone to With Heart and Voice.
It's been a delight, Peter, to be with you here. It's a project that we have talked about over many years, and it will be my turn to figure out how to get you involved with me in a Pipe Dreams program.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's been an honor to have you on the program, and I know that our listeners are pleased to hear you talk about all the factors that have gone into the past 35-plus years.
Well, it's been my delight, Peter. Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening and sharing in this conversation and musical feast with Michael and me. I hope you've enjoyed the selections we've shared as well as the conversation. The full two-hour version of this program is available for listening online at our website, withheartandvoice.org. Our Twitter handle is at @WHeartAndVoice, or you can like us on Facebook. Audio producer for the program is Andrew Croucher. Executive producer is Gene Fisher. And I'm Peter Dubois. Please join me again next week for With Heart and Voice.
With Heart and Voice is a production of WXXI Public Broadcasting.